Garlic's stinky and delicious. Garlic's healthy and nutritious, and it tastes so fine.
Gary just produced this here during the break.
Wine. Garlic's pungent and so kicking. Garlic great with beef or fish or chicken gets me in the mood.
This is perfect.
Well, coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, we have been working with Jan Diotri to follow the Arizona Farm Bureau with a local recipe. Now, we had mentioned some of the ones that y'all have at fillyourplate.org. There's over 20 pasta and goat cheese garlic. This one is hearty hamburger stew, garlic roasted summer squash, garlic cheese fingers. I like this one, citrus marinated grilled turkey. That sounds like one we've got to try.
All of the recipes on Fill Your Plate are excellent, and a good chunk of them are coming from our farm and ranch families here in Arizona, so that's what makes our recipes unique. So, of course, you're going to have a little bit of the comfort food, but one of our farmers, all of the recipes she gave me are our veggie recipes, so we have a great diversity of recipes on Fill Your Plate, and the ones that I've tried, the ones that have, they've fed me on, they've been wonderful.
And we were talking... So Jan's recipe will come up in the 9 o'clock hour, during open line hour, just a quick 3 to 5 minute interview we'll have with her. I don't know exactly what they cook, but I did pick up the tip that, you know, peeling garlic and getting it prepared. She had a trick where you microwave it for about 40 seconds, and that just...
makes it peel away.
Pure.
Jan has so many neat tricks in the kitchen that... she's someone to pay attention to all the time when she's on the radio or on TV or in the newspaper, all the mediums.
And we'll have her here within about an hour. But another trick that we do when we're trying to peel a bunch of them, because we throw a lot of garlic cloves into our crawfish boils. Now, if we're doing more than one, we peel it. But if we're doing just one basket of crawfish, I don't even bother peeling. I just throw the whole clove in and the boiling water and everything. But if you've got to dip it multiple times, you want to keep that paper out if you're doing 5 or 6 or 7 baskets of crawfish. Well, you take the garlic clove in the palm of your hand, the pointy side in the palm, turn it upside down and smash it on the table. Then you scoop, it breaks all the cloves individually, scoop that into like a Tupperware bucket and put a matching bucket on top and just shake it real hard. And that will
separate the skin from
separate
the clothes.
Because we don't microwave anything.
Yeah, like your dad said, every time on this hour, we all get hungry because mm-hmm. we're talking about such great food.
And so many of these great, rich foods, comfort foods, you know, your pastas you'd mentioned earlier, your gumbos that have a lot of garlic in it. What's garlic without a glass of wine?
Exactly. And especially some of our award-winning Arizona wines.
And to talk Arizona wines, on the line right now, we have Brian Predmore from Alcantara Winery in Cottonwood. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning. How are you two doing?
We're good. And Brian, I'm so proud to talk about this family because they're part of the Farm Bureau family. And the other neat thing I want to mention about Brian, he's the current president of the Arizona Wine Growers Association. And the Arizona Wine Growers Association, Arizona Farm Bureau, we shoulder together on a lot of things, and including promoting the wine industry. So that's why Brian is the perfect one to talk to today, not only because he is a winemaker, but because he's leading a great organization here in Arizona. So, Brian, tell us about Alcantara Wine.
Oh, Alcantara Wines. We basically started up in 2005 with my mom, Barbara. She wanted to get into the wine industry. She has family in California that owned a winery in Paso Robles, and she loves the uniqueness of wine and the art and the culture of it. So she wanted to start doing wine in Arizona. So it took her a couple years, but in 2005, we found a nice little property up in Cottonwood along the confluence of the Verde River and Oak Creek. And we started off with 6 acres of vines, and we're now at probably about 12 to 13 acres on that property.
And Alcantara Vineyard is one of 106 farm licensed wineries here in the state of Arizona. So it's neat to identify the fact that we've got some amazing wine growers in the state of Arizona. So
yeah, and we surprise a lot of people that when they come up to our wineries or go down to the wineries in the Wilcox, Sonoyta area, we surprise them. They go, we didn't know there was vineyards in Arizona. And where the vineyards are located are probably pretty much about hour and a half outside of either Phoenix up north or like an hour and a half outside of Tucson towards the Wilcox and Sonoyta area.
So they're pretty easy to get to, and this Arizona's wine industry generates $3.3 billion in total economic activity, and the Alcantara Vineyard is one of those that's contributing to our economy.
And that's very impressive considering how new the wine industry is to the state. Is that part of the $23 billion?
Correct.
So, and how, when did the wine industry, Brian, you'd mentioned 2005 for your family vineyards. How long have we been growing wines?
They have one of their statistics, Brian, and help me with this one. The first license for a winery was issued in 1983, but of course you probably had to be growing wine grapes before that. Any other data on that?
Yeah, the first one was, I believe, Sonoyta Vineyards down in Sonoyta. And I think, as you said, it was 1983.
Correct.
Yeah, 1983. And they basically started with U of A, started the vineyards down there. And probably the vineyards and wineries didn't really start to get going until the late 90s.
And now they've just taken off.
Yeah, since when Alcantara started in 2005, especially up north, most of the vineyards started around 2003 to 2006 up here, and we've been growing steadily, really fast up in the Verde Valley up north. So
and
down south, a lot of people were starting to plant and grow down there also in 2005, 2004.
And according to your Arizona Wine Growers statistics, 600,000 visitors visit our vineyards and tasting rooms annually here in Arizona. And if you ever make it, to our listeners, if you ever make it to the Alcantara Vineyard, you're just going to open, it opens up into this beautiful area. And some of our Arizona visitors even float down the Verde. Brian, help me on this one. And then they'll stop off and have their wine and cheese at your place, correct?
Yeah, we have a unique thing. We partner with a company up here called Sedona Adventures. And we do a water the wine. And what that is the people drive up to Alcantara Vineyards, and since we're along the river, they park their cars. Sedona Ventures, which is a kayak company, picks you up at our vineyards, drives you up the river, and you float down the river. It's probably about an hour and a half trip. You float down the river, and you get out at Alcantara Vineyards at the confluence of those two rivers. And then you walk through the vineyards and you go up and do a wine tasting. Then you can leave whenever you want. We want you, especially at Alcantara Vineyards, we want you to sit, relax, enjoy the day
so
among the vines.
And that's a good segue to ask you, so tell us about your wines. What are you guys producing?
So we have mostly reds. Our biggest crop is Merlot, but we also have Cab and Zinfandel and Mavedra on the red side. We do about, I think it's 16 different wines. So most of them are reds, like I said before. And then we have three whites that we produce up there, which is Sauvignon Blanc, Pinot Grigio, and Viognier.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about the growing process itself. How long do the vines take to get established? What are your harvest times? What varieties are we planting?
Oh, so we tend up here mostly to the kind of Italian style wines. But the growing season is pretty much right now. We are pruning our vines, getting ready for them to push, which is when they start to budding out. We kind of are delaying them, the push, or watering them right now because we usually get a late frost. And if they push and we get a late frost, that can destroy our crop for the year. So this is like a critical time on the growing season because, as you know, our weather was very warm this winter. And this past week, we've been down in the 30 degrees and freezing stages. So it's not hurting the vines now because they're dormant. But our growing region basically starts in March, April. And then it pretty much goes through the summer, and we start harvesting at about August, September, and October.
August, September, October. So that's a lot faster than the 9 months on garlic.
Right.
Yeah.
But it'll take a vine several years before it becomes a good producer.
Yeah, it usually takes 3 to 5 years once the rootstock's planted into the ground. It usually takes about 3 to 5 years to produce a good wine.
And the harvest season is intense. I had the privilege of, this is a couple falls or autumns ago, hung out with the Graham family, Jim and Ruth Graham of Golden Rule, and it is a busy, intense time during the harvest, but it's so exciting.
Yeah, Arizona's unique in the monsoon season. That's pretty much at harvest season. And when you harvest the grapes, you don't really want it to rain because the Brix level, which is the sugar level of grapes in the wine, you pretty much want around like 24 degrees Brix. So when you harvest, you get the that's pretty much where you harvest that, and you want to starve the grapevine probably about a month before you harvest of water. That's where it draws the nutrients from the soil, and that's where you get the flavors of your wine.
Very interesting. Well, we're talking with Brian Pedmore of the Alcantara Vineyards in Cottonwood, Arizona. We'll have more with him shortly, and along with Julie Murphy of the Farm Bureau. It's 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Text questions to 411-923, or you can email info@rosieonthehouse.com.